This is a story I wrote called The Crypt Keeper's Cottage. My name is Rosalie. These events that take place at a time of my life when I was a young girl in college, it's deeply disturbing, but I need to tell someone, or I'll go mad. It was my second year in college, and I needed to move off campus due to the fact I needed a quiet living space to be able to keep up my grades. My roommate, Rachel, was a good friend, but she was always sneaking in boys. I was looking in the classified ads for something I could afford. I came across this strange ad that had a free cottage to live in exchange for keeping people off the grounds of the cemetery at night. I was desperate, and what could be better than free rent? You could not get much more quiet than a cemetery. I called and talked to a man named Bob, who gave me the address, and I was to meet him at noon. The location was about 20 minutes from campus. As I was driving, it became a long road in the country. I turned off this road onto Elm Street. Shit, I was desperate, but that old movie was scary. I rationalized Elm Street was a common street name. I pull in on this tiny gravel road. I see zero houses until I arrive at the cottage cemetery. I met Bob at the door. He showed me around. It had a nice bedroom, full bathroom, a nice kitchen, and a large living room. Off of the living room was a screened-in porch facing the cemetery. Bob said, "If you're easily scared, I don't recommend this place. We've had some strange things happen. I just need someone to make sure to keep people out of here at night." "I guess you haven't heard about this place," he said. "No, I have not," I said. "I'm from another town. I'm not from this town." "Well, then, I must tell you this is a landmark for paranormal happenings. We get ghost hunters and the such to satanic activity. Well, at least signs of it." "Do you believe in all that stuff you said?" I asked. He raised an eyebrow. "Listen to me carefully," Bob said. "You will see and hear things whether you believe in this stuff or not. It is what it is. I just need you to be able to know the difference between the paranormal and the real threat, which is the living trying to break in here at night. There is a reason you have free rent. You will lose sleep. Maybe start questioning your sanity." I rolled my eyes because this man was either trying to scare me or he actually believed his own tales. He gave me a large flashlight, a pair of binoculars. The cottage had a camera that I would have to monitor at night, although I would need to stay up until 4 a.m., and that would cut into my sleeping hours. It was quiet here, though, and I would be able to study in peace and still get more sleep than I had at the dorm. "Okay, Bob, you won't regret it." He cleared his throat. "I hope not. If this works out, you will have a place to stay until you finish college." "That sounds so good, you have no idea." He gave me the keys and said I could move my stuff in that very day. Before I continue this mad story, I want you to know, when someone gives you a warning, listen to it. I write this as I'm shivering. I wish I had listened to his warning. I didn't have much to bring over. The cottage was fully furnished. I even had a desk out on the screened-in porch for my studies when I did the nighthawk duties. The first night was uneventful. I slept like a baby, so much so it made it hard to get up. I wanted more glorious sleep. Now I just want something I'm not sure I'll ever have. After class, I talked to my friend and ex-roomie Rachel Olson. I told her where I was living now, and her mouth fell open. She was a townie, third generation, so she knew a lot about where I now lived. "Oh my God, Rosalie," she said, "what have you gotten yourself into?" "Well, free rent on a fully furnished cottage, and Bob called me today and told me he had forgotten to tell me the pay was $100 a week. I just thought I was getting a place to stay in exchange for watching the cemetery. It's perfect." Rachel said, "Did you ever once ask yourself why anyone would give up that deal?" "Well, I did think about it, but I don't believe in ghosts and all that jazz. So I figured that most people are just paranoid." Rachel said, "I wish that was the case. I really do. Be careful, Rosalie. I will come by soon and check on you, okay?" She looked nervous, and then she left. What's wrong with her? I asked to myself. She believes the folklore, of course. She's lived here her whole life. It's probably all anyone talked about. Rumors breed in small-town minds. I was different. I was self-assured, a logical thinker. Whatever. I went home to my cottage on Elm Street. The only thing that freaked me out was the name of the street because of that stupid old movie. I was a strong young woman, and I would show these town people how ridiculous they are, I thought. I took a nap before it was time to watch the cemetery. I had lots of homework to do for my psych class. I was in the middle of my studies when I heard what sounded like the iron door to the cemetery clink open and shut. Open and shut. I looked, but I did not see anything. I got out of the flashlight and headed out back to check things out. Probably just some high schoolers, I thought. The gate was open. I flashed my light. "Hello," I said. "You're not supposed to be here. I'm giving you one free warning before I call the police." It was very quiet. The gate had a heavy latch on it, and it was not a windy night. Let's check this out, I said to myself, sort of unsure of myself already. I started walking through the cemetery, when all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something. I turned to look. Oh, it was just an old man on a bench. "Hi there. Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry. No one is allowed out here at night. You can come back during day hours." He looked up at me and said, "Oh, you can see me?" "Well, yes, of course I can, sir." I was perplexed. He probably had memory issues. "You're not supposed to be here." "Well, I live here," he said. I let out a chuckle. "Very funny, sir. Unfortunately for you, I'm serious." I walked over to the grave he was sitting at. It had above-ground crypts, and it was a family plot. I skimmed for a second and saw Sarah Dudley. Must have been his wife. He did not pose any real danger. So I assume you're Mr. Dudley, I said. Why, yes, I am, he said. I then said, let's make a deal, Mr. Dudley. You can stay and visit at nighttime any time, as long as you don't tell anyone. See that cottage I pointed to it? I live there, and I watch the cemetery for a man named Bob, and I really need to keep my job. I only ask that you watch out for anyone causing trouble out here, because I hear it can be dangerous. I stay out on the screened in porch until 4 a.m. If you run into any trouble, come knock on my door and let me know, okay? He looked up and smiled. Then he said, you live at Joe Ellerton's? I do? I don't know. I just got this job from a man named Bob Black. I don't recognize that name, dear, he said, and he looked confused. Okay, well, I gotta get back to my studies. Bye now. As I walked back, I was relieved. It was just a lonely older man who missed his wife. I felt bad for him. I could not make him leave. 4 a.m. came and went. It was a Saturday, so I slept in. I went into town to get a few groceries, and I went to rent a movie. I ended up getting a scary movie. See, I was not scared one bit. I ran into my ex-boyfriend. He was with a new girl. He sure did move fast. It had only been a month since we broke up. I started to get angry as I looked at his bleached blonde bimbo. I only insult her because she was with my ex, Josh. She was actually pretty, and I kept the insult to myself. Rosalie, he said. Well, this is awkward, he laughed. I need to get going, I said. I just moved into the cottage off Elm Street. Have to get back before dark. I'm the night watcher, I laughed. Josh said, Rosalie, have you not been told? Yes, and I'm fine. Really, I'm fine. And it was good to see you, but I have to go now. He looked worried. I don't know why. He had a beautiful blonde girlfriend, and I'm a brunette with olive skin and hazel eyes. I guess he found that boring now. I like to not think about things that upset me, such as Josh, who was my boyfriend a month after coming to this town for college. I left my past behind me always, so I just needed to forget I even saw them. I must call Bob tonight. I was wanting to adopt a small dog. I went in to grab a snack and came back out. I needed to stay busy or I would get lonely. But I was left with my thoughts as I sat watching the cemetery. I heard whispering. Not again. It can't be Mr. Dudley. It was more than one person whispering. I took my flashlight and headed out back. I could still hear the whispering. I followed it through to the entire cemetery. I went in circles. I covered every square inch of it. Okay, yes, I was starting to feel insane. I couldn't explain it. No damage had been done, so I went back in when the whispering stopped. I set my alarm for 9 a.m. I was excited to get a dog. I really loved animals. When I got there, I walked right to him, a little brown Dachshund. He was only a year old. They found him wandering alone, starving a month before. I stopped to get him food and a dog bed. I wanted him to be comfortable and know he was finally home. When I left the store, I saw a missing poster of a young girl. So strange. I have been seeing them for the past 2 years. It's such a small town. It made no sense how people kept going missing. Last year, it was a girl who I went to school with. Her name was Tabitha Crenshaw. They never found her. After I got back to the cottage, I set up Casey's bed and food area. Then I took him out for a walk. I had not seen any houses coming in here, but I was curious if I had any neighbors. I assumed Mr. Dudley had to live nearby to come that late at night. I walked down the street for a few minutes until I saw a small house. It looked like no one lived there. By the time I had reached the dead end, I had seen a few more houses, but no one was outside. Well, I guess I do have some neighbors. On my way back, I saw this young guy walking in my direction. Casey barked as we walked, and then the guy walked up, and he said, "Hi there, you must be the new crypt keeper," he laughed. "So not funny," I said. "Who are you anyways?" I asked. "Well, I live right here," as he pointed to the house I thought looked empty. "Name's Johnny Dudley. You can call me JD. "Oh, I met your grandfather the other night," I said. "I knew he must have lived close by." I let him stay. "Hey now, you're the one who's not being funny." And he walked off in a huff. "What is it?" I yelled. "You know my grandfather's dead. No explanation needed." "What?" I was stuttering. "I grew up in this house," he said. "We were close, not cool. I did not know what to say, except I was sorry and walked back, shaken up. I'm not going to let this get to me," I thought. Maybe it was another Dudley, but that did not make sense either. I was glad I had Casey to keep me company. I sure could use it. I just offended the only neighbor I had met. It was that time again. I brought Casey out with me to the porch along with a book. Casey seemed to like it out here. A little while later, there was a knock at the door of the porch. It was J.D. "Can I come in?" he said. "Yes, of course you can." "I'm sorry for getting angry at your joke," he said. "Well, it wasn't meant to be one, and that's where I'm confused," I said. "What do you mean?" J.D. asked. "Well, I heard the gate open late one night, so I went to check things out, and I saw an older man sitting on a bench, and we talked, and I noticed he was sitting at a family plot. I looked around, and I remember seeing a lady's name and figured it must have been his wife he was visiting, and then I told him he could stay." "Okay, hold on now. You're telling me you saw my grandfather, who is dead?" "I mean, we talked. He wasn't a ghost. Maybe I was at the wrong plot and met another Dudley." "He said his name was Dudley?" J.D. asked. "Well, I think I said you must be Mr. Dudley after reading the name on the grave, and he said he was." "What did he look like?" "Well, it was dark, but he was a tall, slender, older man. He asked if I lived at the Ellertons' home after I told him where I lived. I told him Bob Black hired me, and he didn't recognize the name." J.D. asked if he could sit here for a minute. He was quiet. before he said, "Sounds like my grandfather, but he died some years ago. I'm the only Dudley man left. Me and my mom moved here when I was a kid, and my dad. He moved with us for a while, but then he left us, and he's never came back. My mom remarried, and I inherited the house from my grandfather. Weird things happen here, so I'm not surprised, but this is the first time it involved a family member. Some weird things are happening that are challenging my staunch belief in not believing," I said. "I brushed them off. I guess I can't brush them off anymore. Last night I heard whispering. I covered every inch of the cemetery and nothing. When I came back in, the whispering stopped. It was so strange. Well, I'm sorry I misread what you said. It gets a bit complicated around here. That's why no one stays. We've had trouble in the past. Plus, there's more." "Like what?" I asked. "I can't get into all of it at once. It won't make sense. Hell, it still doesn't." "Okay, lay it on me. I'm curious. How long have you been in our little town of Cove's Point?" he asked. "About 2 years now," I said. "I'm in my second year at the college." Then he asked, "Have you noticed a few too many missing posters around here of young girls?" "Yes, I have. It is very strange." "Well, it's been happening since I moved here. I think I know a little about it, but still have not figured out all of it." "Like, what do you know?" "It's a lot of little stuff with a big one that I've been trying to figure out for a while now. To the point I just want to walk away from this place and never come back. The cottage you live in was once owned by a family, the Ellertons. They founded this town. A fire took out the main house a long time ago." "Who owns it now?" I asked. "Is it Bob Black?" "I'm not sure, but I don't think so. I think he works for whoever does own it now. It's all a big secret. Even the landowner's records that should be public are sealed. Red flag number one." "I'm scared to ask about red flag number two." "Well, there are so many I wouldn't know where to begin. I do believe the owner of this cottage has something to do with the missing girls." "Am I in danger?" "Not as long as you work here. I've never known anyone to go missing while they were here. But one girl did sometime after she left this place. She must have figured out something." "Like what?" "She must have found the underground tunnel system. That is related to what I believe is possible human trafficking." "What? Here?" "I thought things like that happened in other places. I know I'm onto something. To what degree, I don't know. I've been looking for underground tunnels for so long, I've just about given up." "So you believe this to be true?" I asked. "Yes," he said. "Oh, so you're just going to walk away and let it keep happening?" "I don't want to. I might be putting you in danger by talking to you. I think they are on to me." "Who?" "These people that are hiding in plain sight is my guess. They're good at that. They are not good people, if they even are people."
"You mean that in a literal sense? I'm confused."
"As well as you should be," he said.
if this is going on, I'm going to help you, I said. You have to stay, I pleaded. That would put you in danger. We should only talk about this at my house. Tell Mr. Bob Black we are just friendly neighbors, okay? Here's my card with my number. Oh, wow. You're the town sheriff? Yep. As wise to I've been safe thus far, I believe. Aren't you a little young to be the town sheriff? Well, my grandfather was, and I followed in his footsteps. He knew things, too, but never got to the bottom of it. I believe it broke him to pieces. Anyway, I have to get some shut-eye. Call me in an emergency, and don't go snooping around too much, okay? And all this, and I forgot your name, he said. I'm not sure I even told you. I'm sorry. Rosalie Owens is my name. Nice to meet you, Rosalie. I will see you soon. It had been a quiet week. Nothing strange had happened. Bob stopped by to give me my paycheck and to see how things were going. Well, I hate to admit it, but some strange things have happened, but I'm okay. Like what? Bob asked. Well, I heard people whispering one night, but no one was out there. On a scarier note, I heard the gate open one night. It was an old man sitting on a bench. He told me basically he was Mr. Dudley. Then I took Casey for a walk later in the week, and I ran into J.D. I pissed him off because I told him I met his grandfather, and he thought I was making a cruel joke. But I got it sorted out, I think. Then I found out he's the town sheriff. He seems too young. Well, he said, he's about 10 years older than you. Listen, he's a nice guy, but I must warn you, he likes to date some of the pretty girls who have worked here over the years. He did date Tabitha Owens, the missing girl. Well, one of them. Not Tabitha Owens, Tabitha Crenshaw. I'm sorry, your name is Owens. Yeah, I knew her, but not well. J.D. never mentioned that he dated her, I said. But then again, we only spoke briefly. As I said that, I was stewing inside, wondering why he left that part out. Well, just be careful. He's a charmer and likes to play the field. I don't want you getting your heart broken. Mr. Black, I can handle my heart. I know I'm just a girl to you, but I'm more than capable of handling things. I mean, I'm still working here, aren't I? Well, yes, but it's only been a week. What's the average time? It varies. I'll leave it at that. My assistant will mail your check out. I will check in from time to time, but for the most part, I will just leave you alone. He laughed. Good day, Miss Owens, he said. I had a bone to pick with J.D. I would give him a call tonight. If there were trafficking, wouldn't the town sheriff be in on it? Maybe that was only in the movies. I did not know much about it. It was dark. I was at my post, as usual, when I heard the most blood-curdling scream from outside. Oh my God, where's my phone? I needed to call J.D. fast. Well, there's no time for that. I grabbed my flashlight and my legs felt like lead as I tried to run to the cemetery. I had a dark feeling of dread as I walked in when I heard another scream and some whispering. I was trying to be quiet when I fell on the ground near the Dudley Cemetery plot. When I looked up, I was being grabbed by two men. It was Bob and J.D. I looked over when I saw my friend Rachel from school, bound and gagged.
J.D., thank goodness you are here. When he said, darling, you wish. Then everything went black. I woke up somewhere. I was tied up with tape or something on my mouth. Then I thought of Rachel. She must be here with me. So I scooted over in the dark when I felt something, someone. When all at once I felt a skeleton hand fall on my face. I was screaming, but it was muffled under the tape. Calm down, I said to myself. You're not going out without a fight. As I sat in the dark, I noticed some light peeking in. Oh my God, I'm in a crypt. But it was much bigger. This must be the tunnel JD was talking about. He must have wanted me to just stay out of it. Not blow his cover. I sat there thinking for a while when I felt like I was sitting on something. When I realized it was my phone in my back pocket, I had to hurry and get my hands undone before my phone died or if someone came back. I found something that felt like a sharp rock. In the dark, I steadfastly rubbed my hands against it for at least an hour when my hands became free. I fumbled in the dark to find my phone. It was almost at full charge. That idiot JD forgot about that, and well, Bob Black as well. I opened up my phone. I could not get a signal. Damn. I picked it up and put it up at the crack of the light. Still no signal. I searched for the rock. It was heavy, but I was strong, and I pushed on the top of the crypt. And I only got it open a bit, but enough to get a signal. And the only person I could call in this town would be my ex, Josh. Oh my God, it's ringing. Hello? Josh, it's Rosalie. What? You're breaking up. I can't hear you. Josh, can you hear me now? I'm in a cemetery. I think in a crypt. Do not call the police. Please come by and help me. I'm at the cottage cemetery. I think I'm in one of the Dudley crypts. Please hurry and bring a weapon too. Okay, Rosalie, hang tight. I'm on my way. I sat waiting for what seemed like a lifetime when I heard the crypt being moved. Josh, down here, I yelled. I was adjusting my eyes when I saw Josh, and I cried. Rosalie, he said, pull up a bit. Then I heard JD's voice. He hit Josh, and I asked him to stop. Please stop, I was screaming to JD. And then JD asked Josh, what do you think you're doing? You work for me. Oh my God. They argued, and then I heard a shot. It went silent. I don't know how long I've been here, but no one's coming to save me. I wrote this on my phone for when they find my body. 20 years later. Hey boss, we have this section to do. It's the old Dudley plot. Those sons of a bitches. Relief workers were tearing up the old cemetery of Cove's Point. The town was moving its cemetery after it came to light that Sheriff J.D. Dudley and Bob Black Ellerson had been running a human trafficking operation. For so many years, it went back generations. They were hoping to find victims alive. Hey boss, skeletal remains detected. Detective? Jill McNielsen, a college girl that lived at the old cottage last year, said she saw a girl out here sitting on a bench.
and she said her name was Rosalie Owens, and that she was the crypt keeper for the cemetery. Also, she said she was a sophomore at the local college, but no one's ever heard of her. Detective Avners replied, "Hold on a damn minute. Ever hear of Rachel Olson, the girl that was found deep in a ravine alive 20 years ago today? Said she was taken out here by the sheriff when her former college roommate, Rosalie, who she said had been living in the cottage, saved her life somehow. We had the FBI ready to come out here when Bob Black, Ellerton, I don't know his name, said he had never heard of a Rosalie Owens and that the cottage had been empty at that time. No one could find any records or family. The sheriff had a hand in getting Rachel Olson committed to Cove's Point Mental Asylum. How did we miss that? She's still there, and she must be in her 40s by now. Boss, one more thing." Pointing down to the skeletal remains. "This one's holding a old cell phone. Damn."